English Across the Pond.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this week's episode of English Across the Pond. This is a podcast especially for you, a learner of English. And it's brought to you by two people. I'm one of them. My name is Dan, and I live in England.
Oh, hello, everybody. My name's Jennifer, and I come from the United States.
Every week, we have a new show, a new episode, a new podcast every Friday, full of all the language that you need to improve your English. And if you'd like even more from us, you can become a member. There are lots of features when you become a member, so many things. You get an email from us every Thursday, and in the email is an attachment. It's a document, and that's like a study plan, a lesson plan. And just one part of it, just one part, there are many parts, but just one part is you get a chance to practice your speaking. I don't think many people offer this. We're really proud to offer this. We think it's really exciting. And what happens is we give you a question, a couple of questions, and you go online, you go on the internet. We give you all the instructions, give you all the links. Of course, it's all inside the same study plan, the same lesson plan. You go online and you record an answer to the question. If you want to, you can have your face on the video. You can record your face. Most people do, but other people are not comfortable with this, and we just listen to your speaking, to their speaking. And then we reply, we send a video reply back. So you get direct personal feedback about your speaking. It's amazing. So we help you with your pronunciation, different ways that you can say things, suggestions, correct your grammar, your vocab, etc., etc. And as I said, if you think of the study plan as a cake or a pizza or a pie, this speaking part is just a small part of the pie. There's so much more to it. I haven't got time to tell you everything. I'll tell you more next week. But we have a topic for today. Jessica, shit. I said Jessica. Don't go mad. Don't go mad. Don't go mad.
Who is she? Who is she?
And I'm blushing. And I'm blushing. She.
Hi, Dan. My name's Jennifer. I have been your podcast co-host for the last 2 years. Thank you. It's nice to meet you, too.
Awkward. Hashtag awkward. Awkward.
I was also called Rachel earlier today. So. Oh,
that's even worse. That doesn't.
Today, I'm just not Jennifer, I guess.
Today, Jennifer, we're talking about. They're often called soft skills. They're called life skills, transferable skills, professional. What are they? What are these things? Soft skills, life skills. What does it mean?
You know, things like communication, courtesy, or flexibility. Or maybe you're talking about self-motivation, leadership, and responsibility. I don't know. These are skills. These are things that I would say you need to survive in life, at work, you know, not survive in the sense of basic needs, but like to be a functional human being in society.
Gorgeous. I agree. Very good. And yeah, I mean, the better your soft skills or life skills are, kind of the easier you'll find it to get on in the world. Do you think that's true, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I mentioned, I don't know, I would imagine kind of like teamwork would be one of them.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right? So like the ability to work on a team would directly affect how well or how not well you are in the workplace or kind of with friends in life in a group setting. So the stronger your teamwork skills are, the stronger that soft skill or life skill is.
Yeah.
Then the more easily you interact, engage, and exist in that group.
I'm really good with team skills so long as the team do exactly what. I'm joking.
Isn't that just the. That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm really flexible and I'm really patient as long as everything's done exactly my way.
Exactly. Good. Are you patient?
But I'm very flexible.
Oh.
If they're done my way.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Good. I'm glad we just assumed
that. Yeah, we've sorted that out. So I think they're particularly relevant when it comes to sort of like job interviews and when we're thinking about our career, our CV or our resume. And these skills, yeah. if we think of what they aren't, then it's not your qualifications and it's not your work experience. It's kind of the other things that actually you don't win pieces of paper for this. You don't get a certificate in I handled a rude customer in my job really well. And so it's not something that you can actually annotate or write down or record. But
measure,
these,
really.
Yeah, measure, right? Yeah. But they're these skills that I think apparently if you have someone who has like good qualifications and good experience, then they will be a good employer. But if you get somebody with these and good soft skills, you'll get an exceptional employer.
Nice. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you about. We've got a list. We're sharing a list. So, what would you say? I'm just going to scroll down. I'd like to ask you actually because you generally work alone. So, how would you rate yourself as a leader, in leadership?
Ooh.
Be honest.
In leadership. I would say maybe what's the ratio or scale? 1 to 10?
Yeah.
Maybe like a 6 or a 7.
Oh yeah. Okay. I thought you'd say 7.
Like 6. Mm. And I say that only because Dan, we talked about this recently in our expectations episode.
Oh yeah.
But I kind of set high expectations.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit of a control freak. So delegation is something that's kind of hard for me.
Yeah.
And I think in a leadership position, you definitely need to know how to like delegate and manage other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, in terms of like work environments, I've had so much experience in the last 3.5-4 years of working for myself.
Mm, that's why I asked you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think I'm a little bit rusty.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to take myself back to when I worked in a school. And I think that it was probably much, much stronger when I worked in the school and I was working with people. I was, you know, even like helping some new teachers.
Yeah, yeah.
I was testing curriculum, working on a team. And I definitely think I was the type of person to like step up and take on the leadership position if it was needed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, yeah, nice. And what's interesting about this is like we are now, of course, able to give totally honest sort of to the wall answers. And in a job interview, our answers would be,
I see myself as a very strong leader. Mm. And I manage people very well. I've always had this as a that would be a job interview answer.
Yeah, yeah. And at the same time, you'd say, but I'm not so much of a leader that I'm not willing to step down at times and also be led. I think that's an important part of, and you craft this kind of cheesy kind of, well, and dishonest-ish answer as well.
My biggest weakness is probably that I work too hard.
Yeah, yeah. Is that I will never leave work until everything's finished. That's a real fault of mine.
Yeah.
They're fun. They're fun, those sort of things.
Yeah, yeah. We digress into types of job interviews.
Yeah, so I asked you about leadership. What about taking responsibility? How are you with handling responsibility?
Oh, 10, 15,
ding, 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 ding. How so, my friend? How so?
Well, I feel like I'm very responsible. You know, if I say that I will do something,
yeah,
then I will do it.
Yeah, that's true, folks. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely am responsible. You know, I really feel, and I kind of pride myself on the fact that I think people can rely on me. I hope people can rely on me, right? To get things done too, even when I don't say I'll do them. You know what I mean? Like that someone can count on me and know that, that I'll do it.
Well, a case in point, I mean, this is you and I, but it would actually be fairly easy for us to miss a week of English Across the Pond and just, you know, just like, oh, we'll just skip that week. I'd like to ask you, Jen, how many weeks have we skipped doing English Across the Pond since we started?
A big fat zero.
A big fat. The thing is, we're just like an annoying wasp mosquito fly that just does. We're just always there.
We're just super responsible with English Across the Pond because we know our listeners, you guys, need English.
Yeah, they're counting on us.
Yeah.
You've got the list. Ask me one.
I want to know, how is your ability to work under pressure?
Bum, 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 bum. Sorry.
Including your time management. So how is your ability to work under pressure? How do you perform? And how are your time management skills? Double question.
Well, and there's actually three questions there. And what the last one is, how good are you at following really complicated questions? So what's the first bit?
The first bit is...
Write this down.
How is your ability to work under pressure?
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. And time management.
And how is your time management related to that?
Yeah, under pressure, I think I at times perform even better when I'm under pressure. If I have, let's say, 365 days to plan one lesson, then, oh, I can just get so into it. I can get lost in the creativity of it and go wandering off to 1,001 websites, choosing the right font for the title page, getting a beautiful picture. But if the lesson's in 40 minutes, I will scramble and get it together in 40 minutes. And actually, which lesson is better, which ones the students enjoy more or learn more from, is debatable. It's not necessarily the one that took me a year on a desert island. Time management. Yeah, so time management, which goes into that. Yeah, I work better the nearer and nearer we get to deadline. So I'm not, let's say I have got to spend 1 hour doing something before Friday. It's unlikely I'll do it on the Monday. I may do it on the Wednesday or Thursday. I may do it on the Friday. But time, so I'd say under pressure, 8.5 out of 10. Time management, 7, but working on it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. And it's something that I think that, you know, all of these things, I'm still trying to improve them. You know what I mean? Like making lists and planning my day and making notes. And I think that that kind of thing can really help me to get things done. And I'm still sort of like trying to be a better human.
Aren't we all, my friend? Aren't we all?
Well, no, I would say.
Oh,
but,
yeah, well,
but yes, we are.
We should be. We, you and I.
And our listeners.
And our listeners.
Yeah.
And our family.
Yeah, everybody we know and do. What about, how are you? This is a tricky one. How are you with conflict?
I hate confrontation.
Mm.
Does that kind of give you an idea into my answer?
Then give me a score. 3.
Conflict resolution. I'm going to go ahead and just read conflict resolution, right?
Yeah.
This is another of those life skills which employers look for in potential leaders. To be an adept negotiator, because this is negotiation and conflict resolution,
yeah,
is to know how to be persuasive and exert influence while sensitivity seeking a solution which will benefit all parties. Similarly, conflict resolution depends on strong interpersonal skills and the ability to establish a rapport with colleagues and clients alike. So I think that my conflict resolution is a little different if I'm involved in the conflict or I'm the outsider helping resolve it.
The third party.
If I'm the third party, if I'm on the outside trying to help, like, to employees or to friends, to family members, I feel it could be a 9. I think that I have the ability to kind of listen to both sides, to be sensitive, to kind of give advice, to listen and to help others see the other side. I feel like I have that ability.
Yeah.
However,
I agree.
Yes. Thank you. If I'm involved in the conflict, I think because I don't like confrontation and like facing it and dealing with it. And I don't like to make another person upset, or I don't like to hurt someone else's feelings or make someone angry. I also take, you know, I get fired up. Soy Cubana. I've got some Latino in me. I'm Cuban, you know?
Oh, wow.
So I think I've got a little fire in me.
Oh, wow. Do you lose it then?
Well, Dan, I don't lose it, but I definitely
you do. Come on.
I can definitely be like, you know, I have to be really conscious about like, all right, breathe, stay focused. You know, like yelling is not going to cause issues. Pointing fingers is not going to help. Mm. So it's harder to me because I think it's so personal that it affects. I get emotional. Why don't we say that?
Yeah. I'm imagining.
Come on, who's with me? Where's my support here?
I'm imagining, this may be wrong, but when you feel you're in a sort of conflict situation, that you go red, or your neck turns red, or your cheeks go red. Is that true?
I feel like we've talked about this before. For you maybe. To know me, I wear my emotions on my chest. I get really blotchy. I get red and blotchy when I get really any kind of strong emotions. If I get anxious, if I get nervous, if I get angry, like those kind of three emotions, I get red and blotchy on my neck and chest.
Yeah, yeah. Ask me about. So, did you give yourself a score for actually when you're in the conflict? I said 3. Are you agreeing with that?
I was gonna say 5, but I think it's realistically. Okay. I think it's realistically more 3 or 4.
Okay, we'll go for 4. You know. So ask me.
Same question.
Yeah.
Oh, you want? Okay, Dan. How are you?
Yeah.
Your conflict resolutions.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you should ask, and what a coincidence. Yeah. Because actually, I think it's true to say I've spent most of my adult life like really, really, really trying to avoid it, like ridiculously trying to avoid it. So almost like going, when people say something that I totally disagree with and I just say, it's good. Woo, you know, happy for you. And I'm starting now to think like I'm not doing that anymore. And I've got an example. I was explaining something on the board in the classroom and a lady was making loads of notes and tapping on a computer, and I thought, she's not listening. You know, I knew out of the corner of my eye, you know, in my subconscious, I could sort of see she's not taking this in. And I thought, as I was explaining, I thought, I hope she doesn't, when I finished this, say, what's this? I don't understand. And guess what happened? I got to the end of my 5 minutes and she said, what's that? I don't understand. Now, in the past, old Dan would have said,
you should have been listening.
No. But, well, old Dan would have said, I can explain it all again. It doesn't matter. So long as you like me, sort of thing. You know, it's okay. It's fine. Don't worry. I'll explain in the break for you and not have a break. But I thought, I'm not like, you know, it's rude. She's just being rude. So I said, kind of what you said. I said, I've just explained that. I've just spent the last 5 minutes explaining it, which for me was like really dangerous to say. I don't say things like that. And you know what happened?
What'd she say?
Yeah, she said, yeah, you're right. Sorry. And nothing happened. But for me, it was like a huge risk. You know what I mean? I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to do this. If she says it, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say, I've just explained it already and I don't even care and I'm going to put myself out there. And it was kind of like, you know, like a little party popper. It was like,
boom. It's funny how much you built it up in your head too.
I know,
To be something that it wasn't.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? And this is me, if you don't know, listeners, I'm like 49 and a half and I'm like, for the first time, sort of like playing with actually daring to say no to someone. I quite enjoyed it, actually. And she's a nice lady. And even if she'd have said, well, you know, I'm sorry, but I had to take... She may ultimately ended up respecting me more for me putting my foot down a little bit, you know?
Totally.
So watch out, world. I'm saying no.
This is the new day.
Yeah, you better get ready, because I'm saying no. It's almost time up already. What I'd like to finish with is, what if, like, one of our listeners is out there and thinking, you know, this is great, I kind of understand what they are, but I don't really feel that I've kind of got any. You know, how can I prove this sort of in a job? Because it could be really, really important to get that job. We live in a world now where everyone's got the same qualifications. Everybody's got qualifications. Everybody's been to university. To stand out, you need to have sprinkles on top. Little bits of fairy dust over the top. They are life skills, soft skills. How do people get them, or what do they do about that? How do they get them into their resume? Talk to me, Jennifer.
Whoa. Ah. I would say have a little review of soft skills. What are they? What are the skills on the list?
Yeah.
And lucky for you, listeners, we're including the link of those soft skills in our study plan,
Yeah.
So then review those lists. Maybe rate yourself. How are you on those things? Maybe you can identify where you do need help.
Yeah.
And then you can reach out to a teacher, to a friend, to a mentor, to a colleague, to a family member, and maybe talk about it. How do you see me and my communication?
Yeah.
Do you think that I'm self-motivated? Where do you think I could be more responsible?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think I could fix problem solving? And maybe get the outsider perspective.
Yeah, good.
Because, right, and if like you're judging by yourself, it's kind of challenging.
It is.
Get an outside perspective and then try to brainstorm a list of ideas where you can practice.
Yeah.
And put that life skill into use. And then the only way you're going to get better is with practice.
Yeah, I would say that maybe your sister or your friend or your teacher will say, well, you do know about flexibility. Don't you realize? Remember when you did that? And you think, oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that. I suppose that. So I think that can be really helpful. Exactly what you said. And also, really, if you want more, they're called life skills. If you want more life skills, you better go out there and start living your life, my friends, and put your hand up and say, I will do it. And that's how you get life skills. No, not hiding under a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Alrighty.
I'd like to spend more time chatting, but I'm going to go out and get some more life skills.
I think that's a great job. And of course, we always, always want to hear from our listeners. So we want to know what are your top two soft skills or life skills in your own, you know, idea for your own self. What do you think are your top two skills and why? Your strengths. So we will have that speaking question and the list ready for you in the study plan, and we will hear from you then.
Great talking. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening, everybody. Let's do this again next week. Next Friday, we'll be buzzing around your inbox. We'll be online next Friday.
Awesome. See you then.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Hello, welcome back. This is the Language Focus. Today, of course, we've been talking about soft skills, which are people skills, social skills, communication skills, and we were talking about how important they are for job interviews. So another thing that we think about a lot when we have a job interview, we either go for a job interview or we give a job interview, employer, employee, is the personality of the person. That's kind of what we're talking about with soft skills. So we're going to do some personality adjectives, partly because it links with today's topic, but also I have to confess, I absolutely love personality adjectives. I think they're really important. I think it's great if you can describe somebody accurately with nice language. So, for example, oh, the new girl at work, Amy, is she nice? Yes, she is nice. And, you know, there's so many better words than nice or good or kind. So, we're going to do a total, get ready, of 26. Wow! 26 personality adjectives, 6 of them right here, right now, and 20 more in the study plan for our members. So here is number 1 of the 6. The first word is affable. Affable. I will put all of these in the show notes so that you can see them, all these six words, so everybody can see them. And affable means someone who's friendly and warm and easy to chat with. So if you're affable, that's a very good thing to be. So maybe somebody new at work and they seem very kind and friendly, and you would say that they were affable. Number two, our second word is boisterous. Boisterous. And as I said, don't worry about the spellings. They will be in the show notes so that you can see them. So I won't spell them here. So go to englishacrossthepond.com/episodes/126. And you'll see these words written there. The second word is boisterous, and this means someone who's very lively and energetic. You can be too boisterous. Kids and young pets, you know, a puppy or a kitten, they can be very boisterous, jumping around and bouncing around. But generally, it means that you're lively and energetic. So I say you can be too boisterous, but generally it's not a bad thing to be boisterous. It's to have lots of energy and to be energetic, jumping around, something like that. Number three, courteous. Courteous. This is really just another word for polite. It means considerate. You think about other people. Maybe you open the door for somebody. So you are respectful of others. Number three, courteous. Number four, diligent. Diligent. And this is another way of saying hard working. Somebody who works carefully, they work hard, they take time and pride in what they're doing. They are diligent. Number four, it means hard working. Number five, empathetic. A beautiful word, empathetic. And it comes from empathy. And if you have empathy, if you can empathize, if you are empathetic, then you can understand other people's feelings. The idiom is to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And this is empathetic, to understand how somebody else is feeling. And last but not least, number six, you may have noticed a pattern. And number six starts with F. That's because number one started with A and number two started. There's a pattern. The last word, the last personality adjective is frank. Frank, to be frank. And to be frank simply means to be honest, to tell the truth. So we would say in English, to be frank, and then tell somebody the truth. It means to be honest. There are times when it's good to be frank. There may also be times when it's not so good to be frank. Okay, those are your six words. There will be an extra recording just for our members to go along with the study plan, and all of the definitions and practice will be in the study plan too. Thank you very much. Bye.